Hello all, we are back. It's been too long, Al. Way too long. Welcome
I
back.
I know, it's my fault, man. I just, stuff comes up and it's, I miss these chats.
If no one else does, I miss these kind of talking, not always talking shite, sometimes talking sense. But mostly shite.
No, we're talking shite.
Yeah, and, mostly, yeah.
And, yeah, so should have probably said, yeah, Scotch in the Balcony, welcome to our late night chats. And it's not just you, it's me as well. Mare, it's been a, yeah. Well, Mare, I haven't been well either, to be honest, okay?
Well, as you know, I'm currently laid up in bed with a twisted
knee, so, hey, to all you lovers out there. Come on, Sam.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, Al, none of us are believing the gym.
Do you know what it was? I hurt my knee. I did genuinely because I started going back to the gym and I hurt my knee, but it wasn't that bad. And I have a pergola that I've been putting off, but it's an iron pergola. Then it's in this really long box, right? So this guy is supposed to be coming out this weekend, but I had to cancel it because I can't help him with it tomorrow because my leg is fucked. I'm back. And basically, I was trying to push the thing out the garden and went to lift it up to put it up like lengthwise against the wall. And I went down off a step and twisted both the back and the knee. So it's fun again. But I have a sciatic nerve issue anyway. So whenever anything goes wrong, it's just agony. But don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'll survive. But yeah, so that's why, you know, I didn't want to miss out on this chat. You know, we were talking about something just before we went on air. Started recording, I should say. Went on air. It's very professional. And I think it's interesting because I know we're going to talk about AI and these advances. What's going on? Is it good? Is it bad? But we were talking about, just for anyone, because it brings back good memories for me, just the old, like when you think how much things have changed, the old video stores. So we'd Movie Master and Luke and Clinton's, you had Chartbusters and Extravision. And I was saying to Heno that Clinton's was the first one. So that was like, you know, we all had them in our towns, that family owned video shop when they first came out. You could rent a video recorder, you could rent the videos, but they used to have them in that really old school early videotape case where it would look like it was plastic, but it would look, if you had it on a shelf, it might from a distance look like one of those leather bound kind of books that you would have. The reason I was saying it was, I just remembered when we were talking about it, was I was obviously a kid. I was like, you know, 6 or 7 or even when it opened. And people used to talk about blue movies in there. So, you know, the Lovers Guy, whatever, softcore,
Barry,
or whatever.
But sorry, Al, for those younger people, can you please explain what a blue movie is, just in case?
Blue movie is what you watch between the ages of around 13 and 17, and your parents don't know about it. And you have happy tissues, not sad tissues. It just reminded me that, like, I remember, I think it was either my brother or my dad. I was like, "What? Don't be saying that." Because they used to have two colors of video cases. They had two colors, and one was red and one was blue. So I used to be saying to people, "Oh, you're getting a blue movie." I presume the blue movie was just one that came in the blue case. And I can't remember if it was my brother or my dad yanking me, going, "Don't be fucking excited." Like, "Oh, you getting a blue movie?" People mortified walking out of the store. Although they did apparently sell them behind the camera. But yeah. So anyway, that was just what I thought. And then I was just thinking about how far, like, I was listening to, sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a monologue here. But I was listening, it's probably the painkillers actually. But I was listening to a podcast, I'll get the name of it, and it was Mo Goddard. I hope I didn't pronounce his name right. Who worked at Google X. So he's kind of one of the fathers, so to speak, of AI at Google. And he was talking... He may be a bit alarmist, I think, in what he's saying. He thinks, you know, the world is going to irrevocably change in the next couple of years. It'll be unrecognizable. You know, he was kind of saying that this, you know, AI by 20... He was basically saying something like by 2040, AI could be a billion times smarter than us. So there's all this kind of stuff that's going on, and it just made me think of just how quaint our upbringings are going to feel. But I guess every generation feels that, right? That things were a little bit simpler in our time, et cetera, et cetera. But I just thought it was an interesting segue into talking about, you know, this kind of AI thing is, you know, you're just hearing it everywhere. And
I'm in two minds, and I'll let you come in a second now, because I'm on the one side, I know it's not the same thing, and I know it will be much more far-reaching, right? But it kind of feels like the millennium bug panic a little bit on one side. But then on the other, when I start talking to people who really know what they're talking about, like in my job and stuff about it, like what this will be able to do, like both good and bad, it does sound like the world is going to change very, very quickly. And I'm worried about that because we're not set up, for example, to have 300 million people who don't work anymore, because things are completely under AI, or so many jobs are done by AI. So I don't know how you feel about it. I'm kind of torn. Like, I do think you get to a point with technology where it's counterproductive. Like, how simple and easy do we want lives to be in terms of our own daily lives? I'm not saying we shouldn't get rid of famine and poverty and all that kind of stuff. And they're laudable aims. But the day-to-day stuff, how much easier do we want our lives to be? Anyway, I'll stop talking now.
Yeah, I'm going to put it very simply, right? We're fucked. There you go. That's it.
Good night, everybody. No, next week it's going to be next week it's two chat GPTs talking to each other. More viewers.
And I'm going to tell you why, right? Because I let you go on about the video shop, right? So...
Well, thank you.
And you were spot on, right? And then you went on to our childhoods. And that's, come here, and you're spot on. And you look at how quickly things have just changed continuously. Okay, as we were growing up, we're in our mid-40s. I'm going to pretend I'm in my mid-40s. And you look at how things have changed in, let's say, since I was a teenager. So I got into movies when I was 12. I saw Escape from New York, changed my life. And it took me ages to convince the man in the video shop to give it to me. All right. And I mean like months. So I've been in love with movies forever. And I look at what we have now and what my kids have to look at. And I just go, it's not the same. And it's not. And things have changed so much. And you can blame globalization, and there's a whole thing about that. But we live in a world now where the technology that we have now, we can't fucking control. We can't. We don't know what to do with it. And I've tweeted a good few times. I tweeted the other day again. We still don't talk about free porn. And the effect that that's having, especially our young men, but men in general. And now we have OnlyFans basically being promoted as a fucking career choice for women. Like, we're talking, this is fucking hooking, basically. And we don't talk about that. And we definitely live in a society now where you can see in Western society anyway, that we are willing to give up the good for the cheap. Quality. You know that thing about any service that you offer? Well, there's three things. You can't have all three. You can either have quality, two of three. You can out of quality, time, or turnaround time, or cost. So it would appear, as a society, we all prefer Amazon turnaround times and Walmart cheapy prices. Quality, we don't give a fuck about. And we don't, except for those that are fucking seriously rich because they can afford it. And it's, and that's where all business is, and that's where everything's going. You look at social media, you look at YouTube, you just look at tech, it's just quick, cheap. Everything breaks, everything dies, and we'll do electric cars as well, because wait till I have a fucking rant with that. And I own an electric car, and I already know, that's not going to last me as long as I want. So when you look at how things are going and how things are being pushed, just from a business point of view now, I'm not even talking about WEF, I'm not talking about governments being in control and all that shit, just purely from a business point of view. Businesses want to sell cheaper, quicker, and generally, as a population, we're willing to accept it because enough of the population, the consumers, accept it. They accept it. Well, that's the way it is. And then they don't realize that it's getting less and less value. Now, that's with technology. You see how that's been pushed over the last couple of years. You look at where your services. I work in the insurance industry. God love you if you have to ring an insurance company. Okay, I've changed my broadband. To cancel the broadband I have, that took me half a day. Okay, and I'm trying to change over my phones. I'm at it a week now, and I'm having trouble because they won't give me what I need, certain things often. But the service is getting worse and worse and worse. And what they've told me, my phone company has told me, no, sorry, we don't do that anymore. And I'm going, hold on a second. I need you to send me 2 years worth of my invoices. No, we can't do that. We don't do that anymore. Unless you were a business. And this is the crux of it, because I need those invoices.
Yeah.
And I've just been told, no, don't care. And we see this. Just things are getting cheaper. Just they don't care. Don't care.
Oh, there's a couple of points. I don't disagree.
So let me get to my point. So my point is this, right? This is being done without AI. So these large corporate companies are after the almighty dollar, and this is without AI. This is with having to pay people to do shit. Now, we've seen it with the supermarkets where we're, you know, I thought the funniest fucking thing I've seen in weeks is this whole tipping thing where people, the self-service machine is asking you for a tip. Now, in my head, I thought that was funny as fuck. I thought that'd be like something out of a futuristic fucking science fiction movie where they go in and get their food and the robot is asking for a tip. This is where we are. And AI hasn't even started doing anything yet. And it's here. I remember a guy dealing with a guy up Northern Ireland that makes trailers. I was doing a job with him. Really great guy. Tell me a story. And he goes, he remembers the old Jewish saying, I wish my enemy many employees. Right? We all know that the biggest pain in the hole are people for any company. They cost more. They're a pain in the ass. And younger people, that don't get me started, not all of them, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So they will look for any opportunity to replace this with AI. Now, the argument is AI is not as good as a person. And my argument is the consumer doesn't give a fuck. Does not care.
The thing is, AI is very quickly in a lot of areas will become better. I think it will take longer.
Yeah.
It will take maybe a few more years, but they'll get there with a lot of different jobs.
Oh, this, without a doubt.
Can I just say,
it'll be two things, right? It'll be AI getting better, but what they'll also do is lower the quality again, because they're going to say, we're going to give it to this cheaper. It's not going to be as good, because I've noticed that a lot. Forget about the quality of what journalists and editorials and shit online that are supposed to be news are saying, just purely from a grammar point of view. Did you have Brother Byrne in school for English, Chad?
No, thank
probably God. Had him for maths. I had him for English for 5 years. I still remember everything that man taught me about grammar and everything else.
Yeah.
And I didn't do journalism or anything like that. And I'm reading shit and I'm going, because I do write engineers reports for a living. And I'm going, and this has been going on for years. So they're not going to care, because it's going to be quick and it's going to be cheap. And that's what the majority of the consumer. And that goes back to what you were saying, Al. How easy do people want their lives? Most of us, a lot of us realize that if it's too easy, it's bad.
Oh.
But the majority don't give a shit.
Yeah, but we need to just
step out with a wider lens for a second, right?
So what do we do about it?
Well, first of all, it's important for what I've come to understand over the years is that most of the systems that we have in the world, from political to economic to everything, there isn't really, and I understand there's big corporations, right, that have monopolies on various different things. But I think the system is, there's really no one at the helm. It's one thing chasing another. So, for example, a business will always look to create efficiencies, including job cuts where they can automate stuff or remove the need for jobs, right?
Yeah.
And they'll also come up with new services that they know people will like. And then the people want those services and they want them as cheap as possible. And it's just this vicious circle that goes around and around and around. And there's really no one in control of it. And that's the worry here. Because with what they're talking about AI is going to be able to do within a short period of time, right? You really need governments globally coming together to say, well, hold on, you know, I don't want 20% unemployment in 3 years in my country. You don't want it in yours. You don't want it. And to really clamp down. I mean, Elon Musk is one of the people. Mo got another godfather of AI, or father of AI, as they call him at Google. And they're saying this needs to be halted for now. Until we understand what's really going to happen, we need to be very careful here. And the thing is with companies, companies will take it on. If it means they can use it and have efficiencies, then they'll take it on. The problem that I see is if it's true what they're saying, then a couple of 100 million jobs are going to be eliminated around the world in the next few years. And those companies still need enough people earning to consume the goods that they create. Otherwise, like, what's the point of it? Eventually, everything just runs itself into the ground. And an interesting aside here, I read an article, I think it was in The Atlantic a few months ago, and it was this guy who's like this company that do, it's like doomsday prepping. So they do underground bunkers and all that kind of shit, right up to really expensive stuff. And he said he's had like the likes of hedge fund owners, billionaires, come to him and say, look, if and when like civilization collapses, right, then what are we going to do here? Like, I want to be safe. And what they've started to realize is you can have the bunker all you want, but you need armed guards to man your underground bunker or your base in the mountains or whatever it is. And then the thing that they realize now is what's to stop those people with the guns turning those guns on you?
Yeah.
So my worry, and again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm worried about if this happens as quickly as Mo Goddard was, and I hope I get his name right, I apologize for not, but it as quickly as he was saying it's going to happen. I mean, it's a real, like, you're talking about short-term collapse, potentially in the global economy, for one, and it's not really good.
No, it's not. But I listen. I'm an idiot, right? And if I'm an idiot, and I can see it, and I can see what's happening in society and where it's going, and as you said, you're right. There's no one at the helm. But the problem is you can't put someone at the helm because of technology. We're all just one big country now, right? Because of globalization.
Yeah.
And because the way I always put it, like, whether you're talking about immigration and borders and society or whatever, I always try and bring it down to, well, how do you run your house? Right? Because I always think that's how things should be looked at. How are you running your house? Now, if you take each country as being a house on an estate, you can run your house all you want. But if there's other houses in your estate causing trouble, there's not really that much you can do. And definitely not if you live in a little house like we do. And obviously I'm in a littler house than you, but we're still little houses. Because when you look at America, and America, I think, is on its way to collapse.
Yeah.
But then you look at what's happening with Russia, and then you look at China, of course, and then the Middle East, and you're just, and all these other things. And so it's not possible to put anybody at the helm. Like, the UN's a fucking joke. I tell everyone, you just go look at the committees and look who's on the human rights committees and all that. And if you just 60 seconds, just think about the names that are on that. And you'll just go, it's a joke. So there's nobody. So if there's no one at the helm and there's no one agreeing with everybody, that technically means we're sort of at war. Okay. We're not at war at the moment in relation to what we know used to know as war because of globalization. We're all just one country now. So I think we need to look at it like that. And it's sort of, I don't know whether to say we're at, it's like a civil war nearly, where you have the likes of China. And come here, we can chuck the corporations in there, Middle East. And I'm going to say something that where I don't know a lot about is, in Western society anyway, I don't see a lot of news about what's going on in South America and Africa. There has to be shit going on there. Apart from, obviously, immigration over here and the scaremongering that comes with that. Some of it's genuine, some of it's not. But like I said, so what do we do? What do we do as individuals? What do we do as what should Ireland be doing? What should the UK be doing? Because we're not players. We're not players in the world. You know, you look at anything our government fucking says, you know, listen, they're basically, Brussels has their hand up their arse anyway, up the arse of her. I realize what I'm saying, up the arse of her. Of our Taoiseach, who happens to be gay.
The problem is more.
Don't get me started on the fucking Green Party, wankers.
Taking it to the wider lens, if the UK, for example, brings in draconian legislation around artificial intelligence, other countries will just be very open to it, and that's where companies will flow towards. So
yeah, doesn't matter.
I'm still torn between, you know, I know some people who've looked at this and say, oh my God, it's going to be like, they were talking like right now, the best of AI around the world is about 10 times as intelligent as Einstein. But very quickly, it's going to be exponentially more and more intelligent. And I don't fully understand it all, because even when Mo Gatto was talking about it, like, he was saying, AI is like a sentient being now, and we have to treat it like that. And it's just so weird to wrap your head around it. You know, when still, like, the likes of ChatGPT and stuff, you know, it still gets stuff wrong. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Man.
Can I ask you a question? Right, so it gets stuff wrong, right? Who doesn't?
No, but this is meant to be something, man, that can do the job of, you know, 10 people reading documents, analyzing things, whether that's financial analysis or something else.
And it will.
No, it is already. Like, yeah. I tested out a couple of things on it, and it got, and complex analysis, and it got it spot on. So it's here. We got to learn to use it, but there's going to have to be legislation globally that says, you know, any company that's utilizing it, a certain percentage of your employees have to remain human beings. Now, it's true that, you know,
they'll just outsource it. They will literally just go, no.
But Heno, the countries will collapse. If you imagine Ireland now with 15% unemployment because all the tech jobs have gone to AI, the economy will collapse, Heno.
And that's what's going to happen.
But again, there's an opportunity for countries to halt it and say, hold on, you know, we need to really think about things here as to, you know, how we move forward, because, you know, no country is going to be able to. America, over $3 trillion of,
which,
you know, without getting into the, you know, too much of the nuances of debt ceiling and stuff over there. And I mean, they will end up in an incredibly precarious situation. Although America, interestingly, is a less, I don't know how AI will be integrated, but it's a less automation culture because of the immigrant type entrepreneurial spirit that they have. But I don't think that will extend to AI. I think AI will very quickly take over a lot of businesses and take a lot of those kind of jobs out, which is going to make large parts of America absolute hellholes because you're going to have people who where there is no longer, it's not even at the bottom rung of the ladder, money-wise, isn't there. It's the bottom half of that ladder doesn't exist anymore because those jobs will all be artificial intelligence. And it's the same with McDonald's. They have no, you know, if they've already got a couple of restaurants where there's no staff. It's all done automatic. It's automated, and there's artificial intelligence embedded, I think, within there as well. So they do everything from the cooking to the serving without any staff. It's and I'm not saying some jobs go defunct. That's what happens as we progress. But this feels different. This feels like this progression could be really dangerous.
No, it is. And here's why. AI isn't, I don't have a problem with AI. So AI as an entity itself, right? As a thing itself, I think, could be very easily controlled so it wouldn't be dangerous. That's not the problem. The problem is the people who are going to be using it, like anything else. And we're still, we can see that with technology. Already, before AI, we already had technology being used against us. Okay? Whether it was by governments, by corporations, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, and now you're going to have AI, because here's what I am. This is just a very simple thing. Can you hear that dog barking in the background?
It's fine. I think it adds to the ambience of what we're talking about.
Because
that dog will be replaced by artificial intelligence. So it's fine.
So, well, I lost my thought there because I just muted so I could shout at that goddamn bloody dog. Now, so here's what I imagine, right? That we get AI, and it's only a couple of years from now, where it's like way, 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 way more intelligent. And because we say, oh, well, these jobs and these things, they won't be replaced by AI. Okay. Then you just have somebody sitting there and we'll ask AI, how do I get rid of that job? How do I get that job done without having staff or reducing the staff? Because that's all companies will have to do. That's how I see it. And I know that might sound a bit tinfoily and scary, but if I was in charge of companies, that's what I'd be doing. That's what I'd be asking AI. If I have a problem, what am I going to ask? And if I'm a government, I'm going to be asking, especially if I'm someone, let's say, like Mr. Trudeau, okay, future fucking dictator of Canada, okay, this is not like this will happen because it's always happened. And now what we're doing, we have invented basically a machine for people in charge to ask it, how do I stay in control? How do I stay in charge? Doesn't matter what it is, because whatever you might have ChatGPT, right? But whatever you and I have, or what you and I will be able to actually access, do you think it's going to be at the same level as our governments and our large corporations and people that have more fucking money than some countries? No,
not even governments. It's private companies.
Yes,
we're moving into a real corporatarian era, and it's a real concern. I mean, Elon Musk and others have talked about taxing these companies at 98%, so that because they're basically saying it's coming. These job losses are going to happen, and we need to prepare for it.
Right. So if I'm a government, if I'm a company, and the government is going to go, let's tax them 98%, corporations just going to go, okay, one second, back in a sec, I'm going to go over and ask AI, okay, how do I get out of paying 98% tax? Right. That's what I know.
They'll move to another country. That's the thing. They'll move to another country.
Yes, they will. And can we think how many countries? It's basically every country outside of Western society.
You would need Western countries to be brave enough to stand up together and say no. And any company that wants to move outside of the controls that we're putting in, you won't be able to access our markets. That's but they won't do it. No one has the balls to do that. But it's I don't know, man. I'm torn between whether it's our social Armageddon that's coming, or if maybe it's been a bit overblown. But it's a concern, because it's you should listen to the podcast he was on, Mo Goddard, because, you know, he's very rational, but he's very honest. He was talking about, if you have an AI that reaches like an incredible level of intelligence, the only way to stop a bad AI at that level is to create a good one at that level. I mean, that's just, I can't even wrap my head around it, you know. And like, these are not backseat crazy people, conspiracy theorists.
Hold on.
This is a guy who was at the center of this. You know?
Hold on. That sounds like a very familiar movie plot.
Yes.
That involved time travel, right?
But he was saying that he doesn't see that happening. It's not that they'll become soldiers and stuff. It's beyond that. He's like, it's beyond that. We need to see how it is in the next few years, I think. But, you know, my place will definitely take on elements of AI, and then they'll realize that they've got reams of people doing jobs and they don't need them to do them anymore. And eventually my, you know, what I do is a little different. It's a bit more strategic. But eventually, like, we can't have a situation where eventually everyone's jobs are gone. Because what does money become then? Like, that universal basic income shit is like, it doesn't work. The clue's in the title. It's basic. Unless government owns the vast majority of housing, which we don't want, how are people going to live? How are they going to be able to afford to live? It's not possible.
We'll all be on, apart from a certain percent of people, it'll be the rich, and there might still be some necessary jobs, especially, I imagine, in security. Okay, until they actually do make Terminator machines, which they fucking will eventually. AI will figure that out, because humans are figuring it out as, you know, we're getting closer and closer, you know? Give it enough time, and engineers would have done it anyway, and they're going to have AI.
Yeah.
So of course they are. But universal basic income, yeah, I mean, I was waiting, if you hadn't said it, I was going to say it. But universal basic income is basically social welfare. Like, that's...
Yes.
And what social welfare is, not what it's supposed to be, what it's become for a lot of people, is a dependence on the government. Now, you mix the society, or 90% of a society being dependent on the government, and then... At the same time, cash has been removed out of society. Well, you're fucked. So yeah. I think it's going to be a combination of George Orwell's 1984. Shit, what's the other one? Where the opposite? Oh,
was it Porky's?
No, what's
go back to blue movies?
What's a better world, right? Where, you know, one is Big Brother and the other is giving you everything that you want, right? And then you just become lazy and fat, and we have the Apple thing, and it's the evidence is everywhere of where we're going, and nobody is stopping it, because, as you said, there's no one at the front, there's no one steering it. It's just
there's no one chaos. Like the Wizard of Oz, like, behind the curtain is not this grand, it's just a man. Like it's that's the worry, and again, like, they're talking about, you know, a lot of legal research jobs will go first. And all kind of, I don't know how it's going to work. And again, a lot of businesses aren't tooled up for it, so a lot of small businesses probably still won't be doing stuff like that. But I'm not a conspiracy theorist about, you know, we move to those kind of self checkout supermarkets where you kind of scan in, scan out, and you just do your shopping. I'm not against those, so long as cash is still in society and people can still shop in normal places. You know, progress it can be really good. But, you know, a lot of that stuff is, there's nothing new under the sun, as I always say. It's just new ways to pay for stuff, new ways to get stuff. But this AI is something very different. Like, it's beyond the invention of the combustion engine and motor cars. And it's beyond that kind of revolution from what they're saying. But exponentially beyond it, where... It may not be a positive for, and listen, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll come up with a solution for climate change. But when one of those bots was asked to do it, they talked about taking like such amounts of oxygen out of the ocean which would solve the issue, but it would kill all humans in the process. So you obviously got to be very careful how you ask it. You know, it's like, but we want to survive. You know, I don't, you know, I get very wary of this stuff. This kind of, you know, it was a conspiracy theory 10, 15 years ago to say that people would end up with microchips in their arms. And now it's happening. And it's coming in.
And Al.
Social credit scores, all this stuff starts off as conspiracy.
But Al, the chip. And then Al, but you got to give, right? And we've only got a couple minutes left, but you got to give these fuckers in control, right? In charge and of these corporations and stuff. You got to give them credit, right? With the chips. People, they're not making people, but they're not putting a gun to their head, putting chips in them.
No.
People are fucking doing it. They're going and asking and paying for it. And I'm going, you're a fucking idiot. Because there used to be the argument years ago about which movie, you know, is the world, which dystopian future is the world going to end up as. Now, I said the first movie I saw when I was 12 that changed everything was Escape from New York. I think that could still happen. And we'll discuss that movie some other day because that idea is not necessarily the worst idea I've ever heard. But the second film I saw was Rollerball with James Caan. And I used to think that we're either going to end up like Mad Max or Rollerball. I think we're going to end up with both in different areas of the world. It'd be like nearly like 2000 AD and Judge Dredd Mega City 1, right? I think we're going to end up with Rollerball maybe in Northern Hemisphere and Mad Max in the rest of the world. Like, and I don't think there's anything we can do.
I think it's very difficult to see. I think we just have to go with the flow and try and do the best that we can.
Yeah, I think I agree.
And live your life, right? It's also not living life in fear, right? That's the other thing that we've talked about before. That's really, really important that we don't, you know, live life in some kind of fear.
Yeah. And we can talk that because we have only a couple of minutes left, but I think you're right. That's a great way to finish, is that we need to stop living in fear. And that is what's being spread across the world at the moment, is fear. I think we need to have, we can have scary conversations and have scary thoughts like we just did for 30 minutes. And yes, a bit of a rant and a bit of a, we're fucked. But on the other hand, I agree totally to any solution, positive solution, we need to not live in fear. I like that. I like that message.
Yeah.
Al.
Yeah. Until they come for us, you just
got to
continue.
Yeah. I was going to say, Pastor Al finishes with a nice message and then goes, until they come for us.
Until they come for you. Yeah. Then you're screwed. But it's true. Like, it's, you talk about stuff like this and, you know, get whipped up into a frenzy, but ultimately,
as I did,
you know, we've survived other big things that have come into the world and wars and everything else. So
yeah,
you hope that humanity will adapt and overcome on this one. If it ends up being a negative, there is the chance that it ends up being a net positive. You know, I'm just not that. Yeah.
Sorry, Al, I'm not that positive. Look, where we have to go. We have a couple of seconds left here just to say goodbye. We're back. We weren't well. But we're back now. And yeah. Scotch in the balcony. Like, share, get in contact. And stay safe.
Cheers, guys.
And as Al said, try not to be afraid.
Yeah, right. Sorry if I'm freaking
people out. Talk to us all later now. Stay safe.